honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest today is Mike Croissant, author of the new book, Bombing Hitler's Hometown. All the links are there for you at hometownheroesradio.com. And Mike, I am so impressed that you were able to track down 55 men who flew this mission, including Dale Shabilsky, whose memories we just listened to. When you think of that group as a whole, are there some commonalities that emerge through all those conversations? Because I kind of get the impression that these men made a pretty powerful impression on you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. The things that connect them, they all loved aviation. They all volunteered. Not a single one that I spoke with waited to be drafted. And they all suffered for what they went through. Not all of them admitted it, but the ones that I really got to know and developed trust with really began to unburden themselves with just how deeply aerial combat affected them. You know, in these bombers, they were flying between 25 and 30,000 feet, depending on which aircraft they were in. These aircraft were not pressurized, so wind was whipping through those aircraft. They had to be on oxygen in order to breathe, because obviously the air is too thin up there to sustain human life. And they had to wear suits that plugged into little sockets and produced heat throughout their body. And that's before even meeting the enemy in battle. So just that aspect of it alone was maybe not traumatic, but definitely not fun to experience. Then you throw in the aerial combat aspect. You know, by this point in the war, the German Air Force was largely destroyed or grounded by the lack of fuel and pilots. So very little combat with fighters was happening at this time. In fact, there's only one case that I know of that happened on April 25th. Of a German fighter making a run at one of the bombers. But where the Germans lacked the ability to attack with fighters, they made up for in throwing up a lot of anti-aircraft fire. It was called flak. Flak comes from a German word that I will not attempt to say that stands for anti-aircraft artillery cannon. Flak is essentially an artillery shell that explodes and produces shrapnel. So it's called flak. The flak that was produced that day blotted out the sun, according to what many of the men said. It was like flying into a storm cloud. One of the most vivid descriptions of it I got was from a man named John Dominey, whose nickname was Duck. You probably recognize his name from the book, but yep. he's in the ball turret, which is the spherical gun turret underneath one of the B-24s near the front of the formation. And he is rotating his turret, scanning for fighters, and he hears his nose gunner say, flak 12 o'clock level over the intercom. So Duck rotates his turret to the front of the aircraft, and what he sees terrifies him, and he says, I'm paraphrasing here, I knew that I was going to die. The flak was like a solid black cloud. So Duck begins to say the Lord's Prayer, and he knows that he doesn't have time to say the whole thing. So he pauses and he asks God if he will have him. And he's filled with a sense of peace. And then he enters the flak zone. And within minutes, the bomber is devastated with fire, and they would eventually all have to parachute out. So needless to say, the flak that day and on other days, but especially on this day, April 25th, left the men traumatized. Many of them, including John Dominey, couldn't enjoy 4th of July fireworks anymore after this. Later in life, John would be with his baby brother a car would backfire. And the next thing knew, John was taking cover under the porch, and he found his baby brother out in the street alone. So the men who survived the mission, and fortunately it was the great majority of them, still carried invisible wounds with them after the war. I go into this a lot. The whole back portion of the book is how the men got home from the mission, including the men who were shot down, but also how they went on with life. You know, these men were 18 to, say, 26 years old and have these very formative events at such a young age. That left an impression, to say the least. The back part of the book deals with that, and I hope will help many of the families who read it to understand just why their loved ones never talked about it.
Well, and that's what struck me as you're sharing is, you know, I've met so many who say when they hear stories like what you're talking about, it helps them understand things about their father, their grandfather, their uncle. We see that on the honor flights too. They start to realize this is not a unique experience to my family, and having someone talk about it helps them understand. And I know everybody listening got goosebumps when you told the story of Duck preparing to go through that cloud of flak, and we can only imagine. You mentioned those who got captured, and Dale Shabilsky was one of those who got captured. And I want people to get the book so you don't have to tell us everything, but was there an element of Dale's very unique experience that really kind of gripped you or told you, yeah, that has to be in the book?
Oh, how could it not? Dale, boy, young man, youngest of three kids from Omaha, Nebraska. He becomes a radio operator. He initially tries to become a pilot, but his entire class has washed out for the convenience of the government, they say, essentially because there were too many pilots. So he becomes a radio operator and gunner. He's very close to finishing his combat tour. The men had to complete 35 combat missions in order to go home. April 25th is Dale's 33rd mission. So he can see the end, but unfortunately, the Germans have a say in it. And just, I think, 11 minutes into the battle, Dale feels the aircraft lift when the bombs drop from the bomb bay because all of the weight has been dropped. He turns from his radio table toward the bomb bay because one of his jobs is to verify that all of the bombs had indeed fallen out. As he does that, a black cloud bursts through the bomb bay. A shell has just exploded very near the aircraft. The shockwave knocks him off his feet. He gets up and goes to brush away what he thinks is sweat from above his right eye and learns that it's blood. His glove comes away red. The tail gunner is wounded as well, and the aircraft cannot stay in the air much longer. They effect a crash landing in Hungary in an area that's under Soviet control. And a group of Hungarian partisans rushes to the scene. They take the men who are not wounded and spirit them away. They take the tail gunner in one direction and Dale in another. Dale learns at that point that he's also been wounded in the buttocks by flak. The partisans prevail on Dale to shed his American uniform and his identity papers, and he keeps only his dog tags and his .45 pistol. He is wearing Hungarian civilian clothes. They essentially walk to Budapest, and the Hungarians convinced Dale to give himself over to the Soviets. They're huddling on the bank of the river in Budapest. They see a Soviet patrol. They part ways, and Dale gives himself up to the Soviets. They approach him and disarm him and start to talk to him. And very soon, because Dale is blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and pale-skinned, they presumably take him to be a German spy, and they begin to beat him. This is only the beginning, and over the next few days, they subject Dale to horrific torture, and I will not go into it here. It's all in the book, but for days and days, Dale Shabilsky is tortured by the Soviets. He gives his name, rank, and serial number, and requests to be turned over to the American consulate. he is often just beaten harder or laughed at for doing that. However, eventually the Soviets give in for reasons I don't know, but they put Dale on a series of transports. He ends up in Odessa in the Soviet Ukraine, and there rejoins his crew. And they are placed on a ship and returned to Italy. And soon after, Dale returns to the United States. So it's a tale that had to be in the book. There's no way I could not tell it. I did speak to Dale once before he passed. He unfortunately passed away not long after we spoke in 2014 at the age of 89. He did suffer from nightmares, as one could only imagine. But I do think that by the end, he had made peace with what had happened to him. His daughter had intervened and gotten him to finally begin talking about it and writing about it. He wrote a memoir that I was given access to, and he began speaking to audiences, particularly young people, about his war experiences and also to you. And I'm very glad he did that. It was a great interview. But anyway, Dale Shabelsky, God bless him, a great American, and I'm glad that his story will now be available for the world to know. As it should be known.
Well, absolutely, especially if anybody picks up this book, Bombing Hitler's Hometown, The Untold Story of the Last Mass Bomber Raid of World War II in Europe. And Mike, as we wrap up, and if there's anything you didn't have a chance to share that you really want people to hear, feel free. But I want to ask you what might not be the easiest question in the world. Your inspiration, the start of this journey that has led to such a bigger picture than I'm sure you ever imagined, was your late uncle, who was part of this mission, who tragically died in that crash after coming home from World War II, Uncle Ellsworth. If Uncle Ellsworth were thumbing through the pages of this new book, what do you think he would be struck by? How do you think he would feel about all this?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think he would be grateful that someone cared enough to tell a story. From what I can piece together, I did speak to his last surviving crewmate, who just so happened to be his best friend. And Bill was his name. Bill described Ellsworth as very quiet, very happy-go-lucky, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't gamble. That's how I picture my uncle. So I think reading the book, reading how much he loved America, how much he loved his mother. You know, his mother is extensively in the chapter about his death, how much he loved his sisters and his brothers. I think he would be pleased. And I plan very soon to visit his grave and leave a copy of the book. And because this journey started with me visiting his grave and promising him, I'm getting emotional. Promising him that I would tell a story. So I have kept that promise. So the book is for him and for all the others who went on the mission, and especially those who didn't make it back.
Well, I'm sure I'm not alone with everyone listening and just wanting to say thank you, Mike, for doing that. Thank you for picking up this mantle and for providing something to so many families that maybe nobody else could. It sure seems like you are uniquely positioned and motivated to do this. And I know we're just getting the initial taste of how big an impact it's going to have. But congratulations on getting to the finish line with this book. Hope everybody listening will order a copy and read it. And maybe this feedback that they share with you will lead to another project down the road. Is there anything else that you want our listeners to know?
I would just say if you want to learn more, you can go to my website. It's MikeCroissant.com or BombingHitler'sHometown.com. And I want to thank you again, Paul, for nudging me down this path and for giving me your time today.
Well, thank you. An outstanding job. That is Mike Croissant, author of Bombing Hitler's Hometown. Again, those sites he mentioned are linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com, where you'll find a few more comments from Mike that wouldn't fit into our radio time today. Thank you so much for spending the hour with us on Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.